Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Busy Thursday, thanks for being with us. Paul Coro with AZ Central Sports. We partner with AZ Central. Suns Insider, it is NBA draft night. I'm going to ask Paul about the starting lineup for the Phoenix Suns when they have their regular season opener, because I want to know about Kevin Love and the Suns, if there's anything to that. Love opting out yesterday, or is it as simple as he's going to go back to Cleveland? There's a lot blowing around on this NBA draft day. What happens tonight with the Suns? What is fact? What is fiction with Eric Bledsoe? Going to get very direct with Paul Coro, the best in the Valley as to what's going on with the Suns. He will join us coming up at 10:20. Andrew Chafin and the Diamondbacks. So Andrew Chafin, most of you probably don't pay attention to him. You're busy doing your thing. Last night's game in the fifth inning, the bases are loaded. And Andrew Chafin comes in and he gets out of it pretty much unscathed, gives up one run. Andrew Chafin is 4-0 with an ERA of 2.82 this year. If you've looked at his numbers, he's been as good as anybody in terms of being a left-handed specialist. And I kind of like his Twitter handle, too. It's BigCountry1739. What is that all about? I know he's close with Archie Bradley, so Andrew Chafin will join us from Colorado. We'll talk some Diamondbacks today on the show as well. Matt Leinart is on my show sheet today. There's a story with Matt Leinart that will have you shaking your head. Let me think what else. I mean, there's just a lot of draft stuff. This is one of those days where there's a ton of draft things that I want to get to. And obviously the Diamondbacks last night. So let's get off and running. What's going on in my mind in the world of sports? Brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Yesterday, I stopped by Santan Ford, visited with General Manager Tim Hovick, Big Lloyd, Koval, Bob Johnson, John Bernath, the whole crew. They have this cafe there. I ordered lunch. I was getting my oil changed on my Ford Fusion and talked to Tim about a bunch of local things. He was coming from a Chamber of Commerce event. He's very involved civically, corporately, which is cool. And they were starting to talk to me about, hey, the miles that you've put on this Fusion, you want to get yourself into an F-150 maybe for the summer. Some of the high country driving you're going to be doing at Camp Tonnezona with ASU and go down to U of A and all that. I'm thinking about it. And they've had a lot of F-150s on the lot, on the dealership, I should say. And I thought, you know, guys, when I get back and after the 4th of July, because 4th of July is coming, there's going to be a lot of people looking to get new vehicles. Keep what you have in your inventory. And then when I get back, we'll figure it out. It's just fine. We talked about the U.S. Open and all sorts of stuff. A lot of people in there, they have this big gong that they ring when people buy vehicles. They do that at Santan Ford. You can shop online at santanford.com. Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Paul Coro in 10 minutes. E, did you watch the game last night, Diamondbacks? Were you into that last
parts.
Night?
Parts. Saw parts of it.
Do you ever just sit and watch? Every day it's parts. Do you ever
it
just
is.
Sit for 3 hours and...
Rarely.
Or last night's game, it felt like 5 hours last night.
Very rarely do I sit and watch the entire thing.
So in Colorado...
I'm always following it on my phone, but I very rarely get to... And they do such a good job on the post-game show on Fox Sports AZ that I can... If I miss it, I just catch all the replays after the game.
Wow, so. Listen to you. The Rockies at home this year have had 12 delays. 12! 18 hours, 11 minutes, and 4 games postponed.
They get testy, though, if you ask them why they never built a dome stadium up there. They get very, very testy.
18 hours. How long does it take to drive from Phoenix to Denver? Probably about, I don't know, 12, 14, 16 hours. 18 hours of delays, and they had another one last night. But the Diamondbacks, that game last night was as good as any game this season for them. I mean, it really was. And yet Goldschmidt doing his thing again last night for the Diamondbacks.
This is a fly ball to center field. Charlie Blackmon will watch it go. A home run for Goldie. And that's number 20. It's 5-3 Diamondbacks.
Okay, so they are behind in this game late. They're down. It's 7-5. They're in the ninth inning. Salta Lamacchia has a 10-pitch bases-loaded walk. One of the best at-bats you will ever see last night. And then Aaron Hill comes up, and he's not done much this year, but he gets a sacrifice fly. Ziegler comes in. They close it out. Tomas gets 4 hits. Tomas, the day before, had altitude sickness. He'd never been to Denver, couldn't get in the lineup. So it was a strange game all the way around. Here is Chip Hale after one of the best wins of the season for the Diamondbacks last night.
This ballpark is tough to play in. It's tough to pitch in. We saw that earlier in the game for us. And you just have to keep battling. You just never know. Like I said last night, it's almost like a PCL game back when I was managing there. And those games are always decided late. And, you know, tonight we got a little lucky there with some of those bloopers.
Okay, so they're a game below 500. We've had that narrative. They're only four back of the Dodgers for first place. They're only two back of the Giants in the loss column. And they're doing it with guys that are 27 years of age or younger, or rookies. Rookie in right field, Tomas. Rookie at third base, Jake Lamb. Rookie at shortstop, Nick Ahmed. Chris Owings. They're doing it with all these kids. Archie's not here. Bradley pitched last night in Reno. He's going to make two more minor league starts. My point is, it is now June 25th, and they are continuing to stick with it. It's really good stuff there. So we'll talk more about the Diamondbacks later on in the show with Andrew Chafin. Paul Cora is going to join me in about 8 minutes, so I'm not going to go heavy here on the NBA tonight. The draft is coming up, and I'm very focused on where the Suns are going to go tonight, if they're going to try to do something of substance, because it certainly sounds like if you look at the rest of the Western Conference tonight, I don't care what goes on in the East, really, other than the Kevin Love story. I don't care what is going on out here. Amin Al-Hassan, who was with us yesterday from ESPN, who's been on the set again today. He joined me yesterday. I asked him, what is the national view of the Suns?
The Suns are a team looking for a star to build around. The closest comparison I can give you would be the Houston Rockets right before they got James Harden. Got a bunch of different pieces, guys that teams would like, you know, in a supporting role here, a supporting role there. But together, collectively, they're a rather mediocre team, particularly in the Western Conference, where everybody's got this kind of talent surge going on.
Okay, now, he's talking about James Harden being the missing piece down in Houston, and I would have to say, well, they also had Dwight Howard. Not that I'm the biggest Dwight Howard guy, but they did have him too. And I respect Amin Al-Hassan's opinion of things. I think that you do have to talk about Kevin Love now. So Kevin Love goes into the free agent market this year. That doesn't mean he won't go back to Cleveland. The business side of the NBA, and follow me on this, because this morning I've gotten a lot of this, what is going to happen with the Suns and Kevin Love? I was banging the drum for Kevin Love a year and a half ago. I'm not banging the drum as hard for him now, merely because I don't know his situation from a health standpoint. Everybody can say that, oh, well, he'll be just fine. Shoulders are kind of funny. It's not like you just automatically come back from those and everything is great. Kevin Love hasn't proven to me that he is the superstar player. I think he's a nice complimentary player at this point. I don't know if Kevin Love plays, that automatically means that the Cavaliers would have won the title even. I don't know if I can go that far. I have to look at that deal that Love for Wiggins, and you look at Wiggins up in Minnesota, I think I'd probably take Wiggins over Love today in a heartbeat. But you have to look at the dollar figures on this. And so the business side for Kevin Love, to me, seems and feels like he goes back to Cleveland for one more year, and here's why. The NBA's salary cap is going to increase up to $89 million next year. It's at $67.1 million. So you go from 67 to 89 next year. The year after that, it goes all the way up to $108 million. So the dollars that are out there for Kevin Love, he can make the biggest amount in Cleveland this year. Next year, he can go on the market where there's going to be a lot more cash that's going to be sitting around out there. He can go to Cleveland. He can give it a run. He can see if he can put this all together. And if he can't, then it's very simple for him to say, you know what, I gave it my best, and I'm out of here. You could also look at it from this standpoint. I've been in Cleveland. LeBron said some things. There wasn't the best feeling about us being together. I don't know if this is where I want to be. It's Cleveland. I'm from Lake Oswego, Oregon. I can be back in Portland. If LaMarcus Aldridge leaves, I can go home. And there's value in going home. I can go to the Lakers and be in Los Angeles, where I was a big deal with UCLA. And I can be with Kobe, and I can be in glitz and glam. And I could probably even make a State Farm commercial or two. There'll be opportunities for me off of the floor. Or I could go to a place like Phoenix. Phoenix has a bunch of parts. They can pay me some good money. But really, what is the attraction for Kevin Love to come to Phoenix? I don't see where there's a magnet here. I don't see where there is a link to Kevin Love here in Phoenix as badly as Suns fans would like to see Kevin Love here. It's fine to talk about. I don't think it's realistic as we sit here right now. If Boston is interested in you and Phoenix is interested in you, what's the only difference between those two? It's the dead of winter in Boston, which is miserable, versus the weather in Phoenix, and that's it. Or Phoenix is, yeah, I'm a two-hour flight away on off days, or I could go back to Portland. Or I like being in the Western Conference. The travel is dreadful in the East. I don't know what is going to push him. But I know that as I look at free agency for this coming next week, I don't see LaMarcus Aldridge coming here. It's San Antonio. It's the Lakers. Kevin Love, is that your next best option? There aren't star guards. Dwayne Wade's not going to opt out of Miami to come to Phoenix. So let's just quit that nonsense. It's an interesting time for the Suns, because if they just sit there at 13 tonight, and Colley Stein's stock is dropping dramatically today because there's this reports of his ankle's going to need some minor surgery, that he may be there. Kaminsky may go as high as number 4. That's as we're sitting here this morning, and I'm going off of insiders who I really respect and trust on Twitter. I'm going off a couple agents I talked to, but, you know, agents this time of year can use us and lie through their teeth. You have to be careful on that stuff. If I'm the Lakers, and if I'm asked to give Julius Randle, Clarkson, and number 2 for DeMarcus Cousins, that price tag is way, way, way too steep for me. Way, way, way too steep. And so I'm going to talk to Paul Coro about that on the other side. Matt Leinart is in the news today. Actually, his brother is, for a flag football league that Matt stuck his name on, and they're in a little bit of hot water. I'll explain that in about 10 minutes. But up next, NBA draft tonight, we'll talk with Paul Coro, AZ Central Sports, Suns Insider. That's next.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
None better than AZ Central Suns Insider Paul Coro on this NBA draft day. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. Not only is he the best at what he does covering the Suns, a really, really good person as well. He joins us for a couple of minutes. If you're a schmo, I would say so too. So just so you know. How are you?
Hi, Brad. You're one of the best people I know.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, the Mutual Admiration Society is over. Checks in the mail. Okay, so it's opening night for the Phoenix Suns in about 4 months. The starting lineup will look like what? Who?
Who? You know, I'm always inclined to think there'll be a lot more bluster than action. You know, there's big hopes and dreams to go do this and that, but in the end, you know, you're probably still going to see Eric Bledsoe and Brandon Knight alongside each other in the backcourt, and Alex Lynn at center, and maybe T.J. Warren earns a starting job, and we'll see what happens with Markieff or finding one of those star power forwards. But, you know, they're a careful build on this. They're going for the big home run at some point. So there'll be some tweaks in free agency to fill the gaps in shooting and size up front, but they're still going to stay positioned for trying to get that big move at some point.
Okay, and so what you're suggesting is don't expect anything major next week. But I am interested in what you referred to with Markieff Morris and somebody at that 4 position. Would you rule Kevin Love out?
Oh, absolutely not. I just don't think they have a very good shot at it, considering who's going to be in front of them. They're going to have to make a great pitch. And, this is probably up to their marketing to try to lure him. You know, he probably won't even leave Cleveland. And if he does, what do you got? You got Boston, you got the Lakers, you got Portland, mm-hmm. all with, you know, sensible reasons for him to choose one of them. Not that, you know, he couldn't get what he wants here. And, you know, it'd be his team and they would design whatever they could to make him fit here, unlike what Cleveland had. So maybe that's an appeal, but they have to close a gap first to even get to that point. But
they'll
be in play on him, and they'll go after LaMarcus Aldridge.
Mm-hmm. So you expect them, like last summer, to go big game hunting.
That's and Ryan McDonough hasn't been shy about saying that either. You know, he doesn't name names, but he says we're gonna go after the best players, and so there's no reason to think that, especially
you know, if they considered themselves in the race for LeBron, that they wouldn't go after these guys, considering they need a star and they need size and they need spread big men, and that's what Love and LaMarcus are.
And the only way, and we're talking with Paul Coro, AZ Central Suns insider with the draft tonight, Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ. The only recruiting tool that they have, in my view, is what you said, which is we'll build a team around you. That only goes so far. If a guy comes here and says, that's fine, they want to build a team around me, but I don't see enough parts. I've had fans that say, well, Boston versus Phoenix, you can use the weather's recruiting. I don't think that's a factor very much, if at all. And I guess it comes down to, what does Phoenix have to give that I'm not going to get in San Antonio or Los Angeles? And you can say lifestyle, but is that enough, Paul?
Yeah, I don't know that it is. I mean, you know, I've often wondered, is the weather that we talk about even the biggest pitch? You know, they're gone half of the season.
Right.
You know,
right.
If you want to pick somebody, someplace that's a year-round home, you're not picking Phoenix, you know, if you're an NBA player. You know, maybe if you're a baseball player, but for a basketball player, that means you're probably going to have a second home somewhere else. Yeah. So I think, you know, they were probably in a better position a year ago because everything was moving in the right direction, and there was Hornacek was the coach of the year runner-up, and McDonough was the executive year runner-up, and there was a young team with a great feel. So basically, they need to convince free agents that they're still on that track, that last year was more of a hiccup because of injuries and I don't know what the word is to
steps,
miss the analyzing the Dragic situation and Thomas situation, which was on them. But you know, somehow they need to get people to overlook that. And the other part that's hard for them has nothing to do with really something that they can control is they're in the Western Conference on the outside.
Sure.
And there's 8 playoff teams who aren't going anywhere, and Oklahoma City is going to be jumping right back in. And here comes Minnesota with Towns now on top of the talent they had. There's nothing easy about building your way up in the West.
Well, and the Lakers, I think, are going to be a factor, too, in all this. So
yeah, they're always going to spend money. And like you said, when it comes to pitching things, the Lakers and Celtics can point up all those banners and trophies and mystique and trot out the legends to talk about it, and that makes a difference.
Can Bledsoe recruit players to Phoenix?
Probably not. I don't know that he's that type of personality to do that unless he has a personal tie to the guy. Like, if they got in on the Marcus Cousins thing, you know, that's a personal relationship for Bledsoe. So maybe there's some way he can sell that to him for interest. But for the most part, I don't know that he's going to be that type of guy. You know, that type of guy down the line is probably Brandon Knight or Alex Lynn, but they also need to get more established to get to that point.
Paul Coro with us. You can check out his content, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Are you expecting anything of substance tonight? I guess substance, yeah, you're going to draft somebody. Anything out of this organization that would raise your eyebrows tonight? Or, no, it's going to be the 13th pick and we're going to move forward.
I think there's a chance that somebody drops in this draft because there's such a difference in opinion on some of these guys once you get outside the top 7 or so. So, you know, there might be a shocker about who's available there, whether it's, you know, like a Stanley Johnson or a Willie Cauley-Stein.
Mm-hmm.
If they went point guard or small forward, that would probably be a bit of a shocker. You know, they do need a backup point guard, but using the number 13 to do that for a part-time guy would probably be surprising. Small forward, it better be a really good player, like a Stanley Johnson. You know, I don't know if Sam Decker quite reaches that threshold because they got 4 small forwards under contract, and it would definitely suggest that they're going to be doing some other things if they did that.
The feeling that I've gotten from the organization is we are only just one big piece away. We're just one big player away, that we have enough complementary players. Do you buy into that? That they have enough of a roster here right now that if they just lure one player, that they can be a factor? Take tonight out of the equation.
Yeah, I guess away from what would be my question. You know, if they got a big-time player, are they a playoff team? Yeah, I think so. Probably, they can at least jump in that 5-8 fray and be dangerous enough, depending on who the player is, to take the next step. But, you know, jumping into the Golden State realm, that's
that's a couple steps. That's seasoning. That's veteran influences around that star player. That's a lot of other things.
How much pressure is McDonough feeling from Robert Sarver?
I know they want to be a playoff team now. There's not much patience for the long term build when you've been out of the playoffs for 5 years and you're about to have the longest playoff drought in franchise history.
Mm-hmm.
So they want back in, and that's really, really hard in the West. There's all those other teams sitting outside are thinking the same thing, and nobody's coming out. It's a tough chore. It's not that they were not even that bad. They were a disappointing team, but they weren't necessarily a terrible team last year. But to move into the realm, I mean, you got teams at the bottom of the playoffs last year that, you know, some people would have considered top four contenders, and nothing's going to change about that. So I think that's why you see them trying to make the big swings, and they keep staying in position with their cap space and draft picks, you know, because a trade might be just as likely as a free agent signing.
Is Robert involved at all, or is this really Ryan and Jeff's baby now?
He's always going to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think over the years, it's been, what, 11 years now that he's on the team. I think he's learned that he needs to pick his spots a little bit more and trust the basketball people. And it probably took some getting some basketball people that he could trust. You know, there's some of the ones in the past maybe he didn't have that feeling with. I think he has full trust in this regime, especially Ryan McDonough and Pat Connolly and Trevor Buckstein and those guys on the basketball side. But he's always going to be hands-on. You know, it's he's a managing partner. It's his money. It's his team, and he's experienced in it now. He's been around all of this for 11 years and has an office in the arena and another banking office across the street. So he's going to be omnipresent.
I got a couple other questions that I want to get to about the draft, but one last on Sarver. What is your view of what's going to happen to U.S. Airways? I've had Jerry on in the last week. I've had Senator McCain on in the last week. You cover this thing day in and day out. He wants a new building. I've heard of Talking Stick. I've actually written about that a little bit. I think that's a reach, in my opinion. I've heard south of the arena that the arena will become a mall. What do you think is going to happen with the arena?
Well, it's been no secret that for a while they've been looking at getting a new arena, and the timing hasn't been right during this realm to really go too public with that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a lot of public sentiment right now to help with the public financing part of it.
Correct.
So that's what became really interesting to me with the Coyotes, is because now if they had some sort of joint venture, now you have some public sentiment on Sarver's side that he's helping to save the hockey team in town.
Correct.
Too.
Correct.
But then you get into a whole nother debate about whether having a two-team arena is good, because now you're changing the dynamics of owning the arena and the entertainment rights that go along with it. You're getting into more like a Staples Center situation where maybe an outside company is running that sort of stuff. So there's a lot of other factors there. I've always heard the old convention center as a potential site. I know a lot of people look at the arena and don't really feel like it's that old, because they've done a pretty good job of keeping it up as up to date as they can, especially that $100 million renovation at the one point to have the offices and the pavilion. And they've done things on the inside with the skyboxes and the lounge, but they just can't keep up revenue wise with it. It's become, what, the sixth oldest arena in the league, I think, now. And Sacramento's about to build, and Milwaukee's about to build. And it's going to be difficult. It's never popular. For as much as everybody hails Jerry Colangelo in the city and reveres him, he was not popular for the way he did those two buildings downtown.
That's true. Let's back over on the draft, and I'll let you go. U of A players. I had Amin El-Hassan on with me yesterday, and he felt like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson could be a better pro than Stanley Johnson. Are you hearing the same sorts of things?
You know, that's interesting. That gap is definitely closed in perception. Hollis Jefferson only has one hole in his game, and that's the shot, and that's something that people feel can get better over time. But everything about him, his athleticism, his personality, his work ethic, his defense, he checks a lot of boxes that people like, and that's why he's solidified himself probably as a top 20 guy when he went into this process as a late first-round guy. While Johnson's gone the other way. When, you know, I think everybody looked at him at first and said, this is an NBA-ready guy. He's got the body, he's a freight train and all this stuff. But then the more I've heard scouts watch film on him and talk to people in Tucson about him, is he's not always checked in. He has gone in and out and hasn't always brought it. Now, maybe that's because he was so supremely talented there that his motivation wasn't as high to always be turned up to 10, and that changes as a pro. He's certainly confident. He calls himself the best player in this draft. But there's some people that aren't as sure about his offensive game as they were maybe a couple months ago.
Yeah. I kind of like the D'Angelo Russell quote about confidence players as to why he chose number zero, or if that is a number. Eric and I were debating that yesterday. It's because that's the number of people that can guard me. I love that quote. I think that's that's one of the best ones I've ever heard.
I have heard that. I love it.
Okay, 13th pick steps up to the podium tonight. Who do they take?
I think if Myles Turner is there, I think that's their guy. But I'm not sure that he's going to be there. They've got two or three teams picking right in front of them that could all use big guys. So it's going to be probably some tense moments in that war room leading up to their pick as they watch the top of their draft board get clicked off.
I appreciate your time and your insight as always, Paul. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
So yeah, there's Paul Coro, one of the good guys. There's a lot of them at the Arizona Republic, AZ Central. Suns insider, not just a good guy, really plugged in. That was good stuff. Andrew Chafin from the Diamondbacks is going to join us from Coors Field in about 15 minutes. If you've not seen him pitch or seen his line for the year, you're not going to find very many better left-handed specialists coming out of the pen with the numbers he has. 4-0 with an ERA of 2.8, and last night came in a crucial situation. On the other side, Matt Leinart is in the news for something you're just going to shake your head about. That's next. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Plenty of content up on our website, sports360AZ.com. If you're just finding us, checking us out on AZ Central, we have plenty of content over on our site. We partner with the Arizona Republic, and it's a lot of fun doing our thing day in and day out. Great guests day in and day out. Content that's very Arizona-centric. Things that we see around the sports plane on the college, high school, and pro front. Not necessarily that order, just things that we see, and we cover all those. Matt Leinart in the news today. So Matt Leinart, top 10 draft bust. He's been out of the NFL since 2012. Hard to believe he's been out of the NFL that long when you think about it.
It is. Who signed him?
Nobody signed him today.
Oh, I thought.
Yeah, he's not coming back. No, he's found a way to make money in the sport by running a flag football league.
Oh, good.
Matt Leinart has a flag football league.
Giving back to the kids?
Not necessarily.
Oh.
Leinart may have gotten himself into a bit of a jam by blending this for-profit effort with his nonprofit foundation.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Orange County Register reporting Leinart's flag football league used his foundation to gain access and special rates to sports fields that wouldn't have been available to the operation. The Matt Leinart Flag Football League registered as a nonprofit group, avoiding tens of thousands of dollars through reduced fees for using the fields. In 1 3-month period alone, the league's use of the nonprofit status allowed it to save $50,000. He runs youth flag football leagues in Irvine, Newport Beach, Costa Mesa, South County. It costs $170 per player to participate. His brother Ryan essentially admits that Leinart borrowed the nonprofit status of the foundation for the for-profit flag football league. Quoting Ryan Leinart, "What we found is that most cities require a nonprofit status in order to rent their fields. We talked with our legal counsel and were advised that it was okay to proceed with the foundation lending its nonprofit status to the Matt Leinart Flag Football League because the foundation's mission is to provide opportunities for youth to get involved in sports. We felt that by using our nonprofit status in this manner, we were fulfilling our mission. It may not be that simple for Leinart in the future if he plans to continue to take advantage of the reluctance of parents who allow youth to play tackle football. He have to invest money in buying his own land and building his own fields." The Matt Leinart Football League. What was it? We saw Matt running out on the field with the USC flag last year.
We did. Does some work on Fox Sports 1, I believe, as an analyst.
You know, whenever I see him, I went to a couple charity things with him, which was fine. He was a cruise control charity guy, meaning show up, flip the switch, go spend time, get done, switch turned off, get in the car and leave. We see those guys. He just wasn't plugged in when he was here, man. That, you talk about the some of the most disappointing players to roll through Arizona. And there's a lot of good ones. And I talk about the good ones on this show. I don't just sit here and hammer guys all day long, but the darkest of darkest days, if Carson Palmer hadn't come along, and if Carson Palmer can stay upright, they're going to have a good year. But when you miss on a quarterback, Matt should still be here.
Well, and Leinart sort of got caught up in his own success a bit early in his career because he did have some decent games, and then it all just kind of went downhill.
Too much. I mean, when he and Steinberg got sideways, I know Lee was going through his issues then, but when that happened before the draft, that was a total red flag. And I'm trying to think, you know, tonight with the Suns drafting a player, we're going to have a new fresh face that's going to be rolled in. And no matter what happens tonight with the Suns, whoever they take, you're going to hear the, we couldn't believe he was there. We are thrilled to have him. He is going to be a great asset to our team. He'll be a great asset within the community.
Great upside.
He has tremendous upside.
He's only scratching his potential.
He's only scratching his potential.
Nowhere near his ceiling as a player.
We've heard all this. Here is Amin El Hassan again on Ronde Hollis Jefferson and Stanley Johnson. This was really eye-opening. This is ESPN's NBA analyst insider from the front office point of view, and he joined us on yesterday's show looking at the draft tonight with those two U of A players.
To be honest with you, I can see a scenario where he has a better career than Stanley Johnson does.
Really?
Because he's more physically gifted. You know, Stanley Johnson measured not so impressively at the combine, and I think it's more, at least it appears, to be more clear in Ronde Hollis Jefferson's head that he's got a lot of work to do to improve. I think Stanley Johnson's a guy who kind of feels himself a little bit.
Last year, remember when Stanley was sent to the bench a few times? What was the Utah game? The game on the road at Utah.
Game on the line.
Game on the line. Wasn't on the floor.
Last 5 minutes, you're on the bench.
Wasn't on the floor. I've always said it doesn't matter who starts. Some of these, and this goes back to club and coaching kids, you crazy dads and moms that get all wound up about your kid not starting doesn't mean jack. What matters is he or she on the floor with 5 minutes to go in the game? It doesn't matter who starts. It sounds all well and good to go to your work on Monday and say, hey, my kid started this weekend. Doesn't mean jack. If they know what's going on, if they're growing, then they're going to be on the floor at the end of the game when it really matters. But a lot of parents don't see it that way. Stanley Johnson, huge game, not on the floor, red flag.
Interesting what Amin said about the draft measurables from the combine. I went back for the story that I have up now on sports360az.com, subtle plug.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you guessed that Ronde Hollis Jefferson was taller by a half inch over Stanley Johnson? Stanley Johnson, when he got to U of A, he was 6'9", and then he became 6'8", and then after the season, he was 6'8", and he's really 6'6 and a half. And Ronde Hollis Jefferson at U of A was 6'6", and now magically, well, not magically, he's 6'7", because they measured him barefoot at the combine. That's what he came out to. Well, so like, Hollis Jefferson is a half inch taller than Stanley Johnson.
I remember when Jahi was at ASU.
5'11".
And
5'11".
But he would ask people, please say that I'm 6 feet, or please write that I'm 6 feet.
He was like 5'9 and a half.
Right, right. And
played like he was about 6'9 and a half, though.
If I'm looking at these two players tonight side by side, yeah, Stanley Johnson is a bull in a china shop, but I have to tell you, he strikes me as a kid that if he goes to a place where he's getting his head kicked in every night, he's not going to play. Ronde Hollis Jefferson, on the other hand, while he cannot shoot a jump shot from the free throw line to save his life, can you work at that? These are not finished projects. Remember, these are still kids that had eligibility that decided to come out. Hollis Jefferson would get after it on the defensive end. He would get up into people. At times, Stanley Johnson would. When I saw him during the Pac-12 tournament in March Madness up in Portland, and you saw him over in L.A., I mean, I saw him in the Ohio State game really get after people because it was a big stage. But when you're playing your third game in 5 nights and you're in Milwaukee and it's -10 and your team is 7-18, I don't see it.
It's so funny because people always said, Brad, the term they used with Stanley Johnson was polished. He has a polished game.
In certain aspects, yes.
Of course, and an NBA body.
Yes.
But now, with the draft just hours away, are we just getting a bunch of smoke screens from teams that are saying, he's got this weakness, he's got that weakness, we're not interested. And then tonight we're going to see Stanley Johnson drafted like fifth overall.
Yeah. That could well be. If the Suns took Stanley Johnson, would I be disappointed tomorrow? No.
No.
If the Suns had Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and they introduced him tomorrow, would I be disappointed? I really wouldn't be.
No, I wouldn't either.
I would not be. And it's not because we're here in Arizona. I think both those picks, at 13, you've got to take some risk.
And the Suns need likability. And those two are likable local players. I know.
Hollis-Jefferson is more than Stanley Johnson, in my opinion.
Of course, everyone likeable. Wants immediate contributors. But the Suns just aren't likable right now.
Well, there is nobody to embrace, but that's, you know, to me, that's just part of, if you factor that in, likability, I don't think you're really getting into the heart of what is wrong.
They just need to get back to the playoffs.
I mean, I don't care if you have a bunch of guys that nobody likes. I don't want thugs and goons, but I don't want a team that has a bunch of nice, likable, oh, they're so popular and all that nonsense, and they can't play dead. You know, tonight, Stanley and Rondae are going to go. Is Brandon Ashley going to go tonight? That's a tricky one. I don't think McConnell's going to go.
I don't think so either.
I don't think he's going to go, but
Ashley could be a late second rounder.
I think for him, it's probably go be a free agent. Hope that nobody drafts you. That way you can go pick your place.
Is he like the Grant Jarrett of this draft? A guy that just kind of went to U of A and couldn't really find...
That guy couldn't play.
Couldn't really find a, you know, just after sort he played of an with, odd position player.
No, but after he played... in the Ohio State game a couple of years ago and played with both hands around his neck. He's done nothing ever since. McConnell's going to be, first of all, McConnell's Sean Miller 20 years earlier. He's going to be a head coach, and he's going to be a tremendous head coach. I love everything about him at the college level. I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to be a great NBA player, but if he can go pick his spot, Eric, go pick your spot. These guys that get wound up about if they're drafted or not in the second round, you're better off saying, okay, there's 20 girls here. I'm going to choose which girl I want to go out with rather than being slotted to go out with this girl.
He's a lot like Taylor Kelly. Nobody, you know, I don't know if TJ McConnell is going to ever play in the NBA, but he's going to make a really, really good head coach or coach down the line at some point.
No, that's right. That's right. The Diamondbacks are in action in just over an hour, and Andrew Chafin is going to join us, Diamondbacks relief pitcher. He's really good. Like, I really like what he's all about and looking forward to talking with him. That's next. Sports 360. AZ.com. When I say really good, you have to have a left-handed specialist. When the game is on the line and Adrian Gonzalez is standing at home plate against you and you're able to get him out of the way, you have to have that left-handed specialist in the National League West. He's 4-0 with an ERA of 2.8. He's next. So I know everybody's geeked for the draft tonight, and rightly so, but I have to take a couple of minutes about the Diamondbacks because last night, as always, I watched start to finish, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports, Brad Susmat with you. There was a moment in last night's game, and it wasn't the Jared Saltalamacchia 10-pitch at-bat, and it wasn't the Aaron Hill sack fly. It was Andrew Chafin who came in out of the bullpen. We've been talking about how this left-hander has just been really, really good this season for the Diamondbacks. He's 4-0. He's inherited 20 runners this season, only 7 have scored. He came in last night with 1 out, 5th inning, into the game with the bases loaded. These are the types of situations that he gets himself called upon to go take over. And Andrew Chafin joins us now from Colorado, where it's probably going to rain. It's probably going to be a delay because it's Colorado. You can find Andrew on Twitter, at BigCountry1739. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on.
What the Twitter handle, BigCountry1739, what is the significance?
Well, when I first started up the whole Twitter thing a couple years ago or 3 years ago, whenever it was, Archie Bradley was with me and we were sitting there trying to figure out what kind of Twitter handle to make, and I had no idea. Then he said something about Big Country, and I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds good. So I tried that, and it wasn't available. Then I just threw some numbers behind it and made it work.
No significance to 1739. That's not your ERA, by the way. So, just make sure.
No, it's 17 is my number in high school, and 39 is my number in college.
So, high school was Collins, Ohio, correct?
Yes.
If you were to go into what's the biggest restaurant in Collins, Ohio today?
biggest. Well, we have one. It's the Sturck's Family Restaurant.
Yeah. If you were to walk in there, would somebody hit you up for an autograph?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Haven't been there in a while. Usually I try to stay low key.
Yeah. So you're not, you go back home, Western Reserve High School, you walk on campus at Western Reserve, are people saying, hey, Andrew Chafin's on campus. Hey, stop the presses, Andrew's on campus.
I don't know. I just try to stay to myself for the most part.
Yeah, yeah.
More so after this season, probably. Last year, a little bit. We'll see how things change.
This season, in all seriousness, and we're talking with Andrew Chafin, Brad Sussmat, with you for a couple of minutes, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports. He's been terrific for them this year. Are you surprised with your success this year?
I'd say no, because, I mean, obviously I expect perfection out of myself, and anything less than that, I'm not happy with it, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I guess I expect to go out there and get everybody out, nobody ever get a hit, but not realistic, so.
You're close, though. I mean, so last night, let's just take last night, for instance. It's one out, you come into a bases-loaded situation. They scored a run. So are you down on yourself after that? Given the success you've had, aren't there the ebbs and flows in your spot as the specialist?
I mean, I wouldn't say I'd be down on myself. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I expected to come in there and get two quick outs and nobody score, which, you know, that's a tough situation to be in.
Sure.
But given the situation, only letting one run score, needing to get two outs, I say I did my job kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, you have to have any professional athlete has to have a strong mental makeup to have big success, to me at least, in covering this stuff for 30-plus years. You're in a spot where you come in really tough spots, and the numbers back it up. You, for the most part, have great success. So you got to be a tough guy mentally.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I just try to focus on one pitch at a time, and anything outside of that's just a distraction. So you just don't think about it.
All right,
keep your sights on something small, and then big situation. I mean, can't do anything about that. So just do what you can to make one pitch at a time, and just try to execute.
Sure, sure. 35-36. So fans been asking me, Brad, are they ever going to get over 500? I don't know. I'm not playing the game. Is this something you guys are aware of, the number of times you've come this close to being at 500?
I mean, we're aware of it, but we don't make a big deal of it because we can only control half the things that happen between the lines. So, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously we just go out there and give it our best every single day, and hopefully today's day, get back to 500 and move on from there.
Sunday, you had a three-inning save against the Padres. Very rare. Tell me about Sunday. Did Sunday mean any more to you?
I mean, nothing different than any other outing. I just go out there and pitch till they don't let me go back out there anymore.
That's good.
Well, got a bit of a go-get-em mentality, and I don't ever like being taken out of a game, regardless of the situation.
You're a hunter and fisherman, yes?
Yes.
Have you figured Arizona out yet in that regard?
Not so much the hunting. I'm usually back home for the hunting seasons.
Yeah.
And fishing, I've got some pretty good spots. Not so much for this time of year yet, because obviously it's my first season here being out here in the summertime. Spring training, I could put you on some pretty good fish.
Yeah. Yeah, you striper guy? Is that your smallmouth, largemouth? I mean, I'm a fisherman myself. I head up to Powell every year. Bob Brenly tells me of his fishing holes, just not exactly where to go, but just enough through the years. what type of fish you go after?
Well, mainly just catfish, and then I do a good bit of bowfish.
Catfish? Really, Andrew? I mean, catfish? That's a junk fish, isn't it?
Not once you taste our catfish.
Oh, I see. I see. Ohio catfish are better than Arizona catfish.
Couldn't tell you as far as eating wise, but our Ohio catfish are pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Does the team feel like they're in a race? I've been asked that by fans. Do they feel like that they're in the race in the NL West this year? Are they just a head down mentality team and they don't even look at the standings? What can you say to that one?
I don't know if I can really speak for the team as a whole there, but the feeling I get from things is like we just take it game by game, batter by batter, pitch by pitch. I mean, we can't win the whole thing tomorrow or today kind of thing. So just do what we can when we can and leave it all on the field. We expect to, compete. And, I personally feel like we got a really good chance to make something happen this year.
Before I let you go, what is the deal with Colorado and delays for you guys? I mean, do you just get this game over with and get on a plane and get out of there? Because every time you're there and every game, it feels like you're delayed.
It's all part of it. It's just one of those things. You got to deal with it, and I don't know, just try to have fun with it.
Yeah, there's a fishing pond out there, isn't there, by the bullpen in Coors?
There ain't no fish in it.
No fish at all, huh?
No, I was hoping there'd be some sort of something in there. I was going to bring me out a little fishing pole and throw out a line during the game.
That's good stuff. Well, look, it's a pleasure to visit with you. I really enjoy watching you on the mound. I know a lot of fans do as well. And follow Big Country 1739. Good luck today, Andrew, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Andrew Chafin there. Very humble. Very, very good at what he does. Very, very good at what he does. You look at his numbers, he's 4-0 with an earned run average of 2.82. And last night, coming into that situation, I'm thinking they're going to be lucky if they get out of this alive, and he gets them through it. So appreciate his time. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports on a Thursday, NBA draft night. Tonight, more on that on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmatt.